T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
So I'm really just trying to promote togetherness and unity. Obviously, what's been done, what is currently going on, is very wrong. But for me, I'm just going to continue to promote togetherness and unity because we need change. And I think that starts, cliche as it sounds, it starts with hope. This younger generation, newer generation coming up, it's on us and young parents. I'm not a parent, but it's on young parents and stuff to teach their kids, you know, about unity and togetherness and how we're stronger together. So really, I've been trying to use my platform to spread that. You know, I'm just trying to touch on that.
All right, Pony and Mueller, presented by Chafin Lujan Injury Law Firm, doing good by doing right. That is James Conner, who is live on a conference call with Steelers reporters as I speak. That was quickly pulled to start today's show. Conner's response to what's going on in the real world right now. Chris, your thoughts on what Conner just said?
A couple of things. One, I certainly think any kind of call for positivity or anything, you know, unity, just trying to keep a good message going is very well heeded in times like this. I think especially when you're talking about, and I think about this already with Lennox, parents raising children. When you think about people saying, and I agree with this, obviously, racism is a learned behavior. I think positivity in explaining and reinforcing positively that we're all human beings, that there you don't want your kids to like see color, you don't want your kids to prejudge. I think that's a huge time for positivity. The only thought, and this isn't going against anything Conner said, it's more like adding it in here though, when I hear like any athlete or person speaking in terms of wanting to keep a positive message, anger is important. That would be my one thing I would add. I think everything Conner said holds. I think it's good. I'm glad he said it. But I think it's important to let people and understand why people are so angry and will continue to be angry. Like, I do think when you try to look at this entire issue and why people have taken to the streets and then try to cloak it only in positivity, like, and sort of try to wipe out the anger part of it, that's missing something fundamentally important. People are angry for a reason, and anger is healthy in a lot of cases. And I would argue that this is one of those times and one of those cases where it's healthy to be angry about something if that's how you're feeling.
Is the responsibility of young parents something that you had been thinking about even before this? I mean, you would know better than me because you're a dad and I'm not.
When Lennox was born, yeah, I mean, even when we knew Alex was just, you know, pregnant in the first place, like, you don't know if you're having a son or a daughter, but it's definitely something that's weighed on me. I think I was raised well. I think my parents did a great job in terms of when I look back, not saying like I'm tooting my own horn, like I'm some great person. That's not how I mean it. But I look back and try to think about some of the lessons that they imparted to me, like the quiet things, the way they were patient, the way like they treated, you know, try to ingrain in me how I should treat and view other people. And it's wanting to live up to that ideal. And then I think.
So you would sit down with your parents and they would have at a young age racial conversations?
No. I'm talking about generally. No. I'm talking about generally, like life lessons. And I would think teaching people about that racism exists and that it's a thing is part of life lessons, right? And teaching your kids to have respect for all people, regardless of what they look like. The golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, is relevant. I'm more just thinking about the way, like, and this is something that happens to me now much more often than it used to because I'm a parent, in like quiet moments that I reflect on and remember, when my dad or my mom could have yelled at me and gotten really impatient with me and said, what is this kid doing? Why is he, behaving this way, and they didn't, and they took time. And so I think that's important. And that's kind of where I come from this. I want to make sure that I'm teaching my son and any other children that we end up having the right way, to treat other people, because I think that's important, and reinforcing it constantly over and over and over again, because I think there's forces that try to divide in this country. And I think if you're a parent, it's incumbent to make sure that you preach unity when you're in your own home and talking to your own children. I think that's where it starts. That's the real grassroots way this changes.
Well, the sports news cycle hasn't moved off of this yet, and that's probably a good thing that this wasn't just a 24-hour Monday reaction to the events of the weekend, and then everybody just shifted their attention to other things. That shows, I think, that people are putting more thought into this. Now we'll see if thoughts ever transfer into actions. I'm always skeptical about that. I'm always somebody that wonders when it comes to our role in these types of conversations, if we talk about it almost like in an obligatory way for 24 hours and then just wake up the next day and move on to something else and, okay, we did it. We talked about it. Now we don't have to talk about it again.
That's what the job entails. Well, I think in like treating it like an abstract thing is not something we should do, obviously.
Well, right. And I try to, whenever, just to take people behind the scenes here, when I try to map out a show, part of it is reading the room and seeing what are the topics and what are the discussions that people are currently having. And this is still obviously a pressing one. Connor addresses it today. We've got Anthony Lynn in the Los Angeles Times, the one of three black NFL head coaches, saying that he didn't just put out a statement because, quote, I'm pissed off and I didn't want to just put out a pretty statement. So he went to a news agency or a reporter that he respected and gave a very lengthy Q&A. And the whole time I read that, Chris, and it was good, and I would encourage people, if you want to just get a better understanding of, here is somebody, very interestingly, Lynn's background. I don't know how many people know this, but like the Todd Haley and police officers saved his life. He was hit by a car. I think it was a hit and run situation. He almost died. And so he's kind of got a conflicted, I think, emotion going on right now, because he has positive thoughts about law enforcement, but he also clearly has negative thoughts because he's an African-American man.
Well, there's a story at the end that juxtaposes his gratitude to first responders for saving his life, which included police officers, with I think the author is LZ Granderson, who used to write for ESPN, and he relates a story. Like, he gets asked at the end of this, I'll kind of spoil a little bit of it, if Anthony Lynn has been pulled over recently by a police officer, and sort of the story that Lynn relates when he answers yes is kind of sobering and puts everything earlier in the piece in a lot of sort of interesting perspective.
Well, the quote that stood out to me here was, you can't just stand on the sidelines and just watch. And I read that, and it made me think about the conversation we had yesterday as far as sports figures in this town and what they're saying and what some of them are not saying. And I couldn't help but think of Mike Tomlin when I read that. Mike Tomlin is the most respected. I get on his case for gaffes and mistakes he's made and, things, critiques of him that come, I think, with this territory when you're talking about somebody as a football coach and not so much a human being. I read that quote from Lynn, and I thought, what is Mike Tomlin either thinking, or what is he about to say about this?
Like, you're assuming something is coming from Mike Tomlin at some point?
Yeah.
I am too. If something doesn't, I would hold him to the same standard that I got ripped for putting Sidney Crosby to yesterday. Like, I would like to hear Mike Tomlin speak the same way I would like to hear Sidney Crosby speak, because I think it would carry weight with a lot of people. I don't know. It's going to be, if he does speak, I think it's going to be pretty fascinating, because it's going to be carefully considered. He is out there more than Crosby in terms of like certain social issues, right? Or societal issues. In his case, it's a very serious one that he's passionate about with human trafficking, correct? I mean, he's done a lot of work in that particular regard, an incredibly serious criminal thing that he has tried to stamp out. I think in his case, though, I would imagine something's got to be coming by the end of the week, right? Or within the next 24 to 48 hours, you would think, because it is.
Is he treating this as a cool down period? Are the Steelers as a collective organization trying to take everybody's thoughts into account and put something out on Steelers letterhead that kind of speaks for everybody, that's a unified voice? Because there's nothing from them right now. There's no,
it's a good question.
I'm not doing this to shame them. As I stated yesterday, it would be awfully hypocritical of me in particular, somebody that is not putting out powerful, profound statements on this, to then criticize somebody else for choosing to not do it. All I am saying is taking a lay of the land, what else is out there? The most prominent black football coach has not said one word about this. He was at a function just yesterday for Joey Porter. Joey Porter, to his credit, I rip him all the time. He opens up a facility for special needs people. Porter is there. Tomlin is there as a sign of support. So he is around. He is active in the community right now. Nothing from him and nothing from the Steelers organization. We have seen them release statements. This is the Rooney Rule family.
That's why I think I would give them a little bit more leeway in terms of the time. And let me put it this way. In the delay in anything being said, I would be more inclined to attribute it to really wanting to make sure they had sort of a full scope quote out there to have let things cool a little bit and then issue their response. Because at least with the Rooneys and with Mike Tomlin, we have some receipts about how they feel on major issues, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, of course. I mean,
the Rooney Rule in and of itself is big receipts.
Well, how about the last tragedy that we had here, the Tree of Life Synagogue shooting, Tomlin lives in that neighborhood, railing the community and, you know, talking about in the middle of a football season how it was very hard for him during that period to just go about his business as a football coach. I mean, he has absolutely offered comments that have gone beyond football. He's not grunting X's and O's, gym teacher with a whistle guy. We know he's a deeper thinker than that. So
I would presume, based on everything we've both said then about this, that I don't think I would feel right castigating them yet for their silence, because I just have reason to expect, based on past history, that there's going to be something coming out soon, and I suspect it'll be very powerful and eloquent. I would hope. I'm hoping and I'm assuming that that's going to be the case.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.